You might have recognized the tune that was played during offering. Not planned by me, anyway. Okay? So when Velma was like, well, that's the song I was asking if we can sing this one right before or during the sermon. And hopefully this will all tie together. It does in my mind, so we'll see how that works. But it's one of those, do you want me to change it? I'm like, no. It was just perfect. So do you remember the song that she was playing during offering? If you do, Sue, We Three Kings. Can you open your hymnals to 288? We're going to sing We Three Kings and work it into the sermon. Actually, yeah, something like that.
Thank you.
indulging me with that. If you want to turn with me, our scripture passage comes from Matthew chapter 2, starting verse 1, and it goes through verse 12, even though I might have told Dan verse 11. Good deal, he read my mind. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, magi from the east came to Jerusalem. And they asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them, "Where is the Messiah? Where was he to be born?" "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people, Israel." And then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. They opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their own country another way. Meditate on that for just a moment. But as we do this, I recognize that we're singing Christmas hymns, and that was, you know, earlier this week, and it's past now, right? Here's a poem that I'd come across, and we'll see if it rings true in your house as well. "'Twas the day after Christmas, and all through the house, every creature was hurtin', even the mouse. The toys were all broken, their batteries all dead. Santa passed out with some ice on his head. Wrapping and ribbons just covered the floor, while upstairs the family continued to snore. And I in my t-shirt, new Reeboks and jeans, I went into the kitchen and started to clean. When out on the lawn arose such a clatter, I sprang from the sink to see what was the matter. Away to the window I flew like a flash, tore open the curtains and threw up the sash. When what to my wondering eyes should appear but a little white truck with an oversized mirror. The driver was smiling so lively and grand. The patch on his jacket said U.S. Postman. With a handful of bills he grinned like a fox. Then quickly he stuffed them into our mailbox. Bill after bill after bill, they still came. Whistling and shouting, he called them by name. Now Dillard's, now Broadway's, now Penny's and Sears. Here's Robins, Levitts, and Targets, and Mervins. To the tip of your limit, every store, every mall, now charge away, charge away, charge away all." He whooped and he whistled and finished his work. He filled up the box and then turned with a jerk. He sprang to his truck and he drove down the road, driving much faster with just half a load. Then I heard him exclaim with great holiday cheer, "Enjoy what you bought. You'll be paying all year." Dr. Spann had done some teaching and sharing, and he calls this the after Christmas syndrome. And I'm hoping that our houses are maybe a little different. I don't know how different they might be, but a little. So he has this to say: "The gifts have been unwrapped and your trash can is full. All the friends and your family are on their way home from the holidays. The tree is ready to be taken down along with all the other decorations. Another Christmas has come and gone, leaving you with the post-holiday blues. What do Christians do now that Christmas is over is a question that Span poses. Do we simply settle back into the old routine? Do we become blue? Do we pack away our Christmas spirit? Do we put it all up until next year? And here's a story he shared. A family was driving by the church a few days after Christmas when the little boy noticed that the nativity scene had been taken down. He said innocently enough, "I see they've put Jesus away for another year." Unfortunately, all too often, that is what happens. Jesus gets put away with the wrappings, the nativity scenes, the lights, and the ornaments, and so on. So what do we do now? What now? Christmas is over. We understand that. Well, we have some people that we're going to look to today. They have set us an example. It's a rather short story overall in the Bible. There's not a whole lot explained about them. But yet, once you start to understand some of their backstory, they teach us so, so much. It's that of the wise men found in Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. So we start off with, who really were these magi, or is the three kings that we just sang about? Well, they weren't kings, but rather the history, the group that they were a part of was that of a political party, if you will, and they had a lot of power. They were the so-called king makers. So for them to be known as kings, they might have actually had more power than kings. They would be the ones that would bestow the crown to the king. The king would have to pass their inspection. According to the ancient historian Herodotus, the Magi were a tribe of people within the larger people called the Medes. They were a hereditary priesthood tribe, somewhat like the Levites of Israel. They functioned as priests in their pagan rituals from the time of the Babylonian Empire to the Roman Empire. And really, there are several other historians that place them even earlier than that. They maintained a place of tremendous prominence and significance in the Orient. So you've heard the word Babylonia, or Babylon, right? I want to quickly remind us of the time of Babylonians that would absolutely include Daniel. And the setting I want to bring to your mind is from Daniel chapter 2. Remember with me as we think back to that time. So Daniel chapter 2, it's the king's dream. And he wanted to know what it meant. The group of people that he called in were known as the Chaldeans, the Magi, the wise men. So the very group that we understand in Matthew chapter 2, it would have been along that group that he would have called in. And they were known for being able to interpret dreams. So he didn't call them in to do anything that was extremely unexpected, yet they couldn't do it. It was sealed off to them. So they were called in, known to be able to read dreams, yet they couldn't do it. Yet there was a man, Daniel. And it was at that time that you can start to see that God had a plan. God was ready to move Daniel into a position to carry out God's very own will and purpose. Daniel, in the end, was enabled by God to reveal the meaning and the message of the dream that God had given King Nebuchadnezzar. So after Daniel had used the gift that God had given and he carried out God's will, Daniel was moved into a power of position, head of the group that we're going to refer to as the Magi. So the wisest of the wise, Daniel became the leader, all by God's design. So with the position of power that God had given to Daniel, what's Daniel going to do? I mean, he's got some power now. Power on this earth, that is. I don't think it's too hard to surmise that Daniel would have shared with the rest of the Magi about his God. They would have been in awe that he was able to reveal the dream to King Nebuchadnezzar. The platform was set. Daniel was able to share all about his God. So remember again, the group, they were already a religious group. They understood what it was to have tradition and to celebrate and to worship. And they even it's suggested that they even worship one God, not multiples like other cultures, but one. But they missed the mark. It wasn't the one true God. Daniel got to show them that. As we go through the story, so now consider this. For me, it just blew me away as I was learning this, how the Old Testament yet again ties so tightly with the New Testament. The journey of the Magi started well before Jesus was born. I mean, this roughly 700 years approximately. It started at the time of Daniel sharing with the Magi, the Levites of their own people, Levites being the priestly tribe from the nation of Israel. There are so many mirrored things in what the Magi represented in their own culture to the Levites that then show us into Israel. They were getting to see a glimpse and start to understand the real true God. And Daniel was able to share that with them. So Daniel shared all from the Old Testament. I'll bet he even shared this. So as they would study the scriptures and understand, because they wanted to be wise, what do you do when you want to be wise? You research and you find as much information and you cross-check it with others. So the heritage of the wise men, it brought him to this. Sorry, I scrolled too far. Sorry. Here we go. It comes from Numbers, chapter 24, verse 17. There it is. I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star will come out of Jacob. A scepter will rise out of Israel. He will crush the foreheads of Moab, the skulls of all people of Sheth. It would have taken even a little bit of time to get the caravan packed up and ready, even if they knew exactly that that was the star they should follow. There was some time that passed. And we understand that from Matthew chapter 2. They didn't make it to the manger. So it wasn't just a couple of weeks. It was some time after they had been in another house. But these wise men, they took a journey. They packed up and they are teaching us a great deal of what we ourselves should do. It's after Christmas now. So what do we do? What now? So Dr. Spann shared a couple of things that I'm not going to take credit for. But it's something that I want to share with you as it was enlightening me. When we genuinely seek Christ, it will require something of us. The wise men, the Magi, chose to set out and seek after the promised king. Their journey had a cost. They dedicated their time, their resources to carry out the journey. The same will be true for us. Our search, our seeking after Christ will require the very same things. Just as it did the Magi. We must be ready to dedicate our time and our resources as the Magi gave us the example. It takes effort to seek Christ. They had such a long journey to make. They had great obstacles to overcome, a great desert to wander through. And they had to deal with some very difficult people along the way. One described as self-absorbed, and the dangerous King Herod. Just so you know, King Herod was titled by one of his leaders up in the Empire of Rome as the King of Israel. So when the wise men, the so-called we understand now as kingmakers, came seeking the King of the Jews, that was the very title of King Herod. He was not excited by any means. It takes time to seek Christ. It took a lot of the Magi's time. Seeking Christ is not a one-time experience. It did not happen within a couple of weeks. They studied for hundreds of years as a people until the time came when they recognized what they had learned had come to be. Can you only imagine the time they put into, we haven't seen that before. Is that the one? Let's look back again. As they went over and over to verify that they should head out. And they realized they should, and they did. Seeking Christ is not a one-time experience. Seeking Christ is not something that can be rushed. It requires that we spend time with Him. It takes sacrifice to seek Christ. The Magi made great sacrifices. They sacrificed all that they had to go and seek out this king that has been born. One other thing about these Magi, guess what they would be classified as? Gentiles. Not of the nation of Israel. It's Gentiles who set out on a trek to find the aforetold King of the Jews, recognizing that he would be far greater than just a king of any one nation. Seeking Christ is also going to require sacrifices on our part. Paul gives us some great examples in Philippians chapter 3, verses 1 through 11. You can read that, but to summarize those, Paul, everything that he had learned, the great Jew that he was, that he'd become, that he'd studied for, he realized was nothing. All he wanted at the end was Christ. He recognized where the true wisdom came from. When we genuinely seek Christ, we will find Him. There is a promise. That promise is from the Old Testament. Doesn't immediately refer to Jesus, but if we know Jesus is part of God, that it truly applies to Him as well. It comes from Jeremiah 29, verse 13, "And you will seek Me and find Me when you search for Me with all your heart." Jeremiah 29, 13. When we genuinely seek Christ, here's where we're going to get a little spoiled. We're going to be richly blessed. The promises come from our scripture reading in Matthew chapter 2, verse 11. We will be richly blessed as we experience His presence, like being with Him. In verse 10, we will be richly blessed as we experience His joy, the joy He has to offer. Psalm 16:11 shares with us pretty much the same thing. Well before the time you would ever meet Jesus. "You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore." So how are we going to seek Him? Are we going to set out and go for a walk? Go for a hike? Climb a mountain? Not exactly. But we can pray. Pray with all your heart. You can spend time daily in God's Word. And as you do that, you better pray. As you pray, when you study God's Word, He wants to reveal it to you. He wants to bless you with His Holy Spirit, the author of Scripture. He wants to make it known to you. We need to set aside a quiet time that we can meditate on what we've taken in. And those that are here this morning, you're doing the other thing. Attend church regularly. Become a part of the body of Christ. It's as a part of the body of Christ that we have many blessings that are further bestowed to us. Join with us. We want to encourage each one another. We want to uplift. And we understand that sometimes we ourselves might need the very same to be uplifted. But that's what we want to be here to do, to support, to encourage, and to make progress toward our faith relationship with Jesus Christ. So the second major point that Dr. Spann brought to my attention, we can worship Christ all throughout the year. Might seem as something you just understand, but it's worth mentioning. Worship is the most important work of the church. Worship is the most important work of the church. I say that again because sometimes that challenges, well, what if we need to take meals? What if we really need to go visit? Well, that's all great. But if you're not worshiping your God as you do it, it's pointless. All you're doing is pleasing people. Our first and primary responsibility is to worship and please God. Worship is the lifeblood of the church. It's the most important service of each and every believer. Therefore, it should be the highest priority of the believer. Okay, so how do we worship Christ? The Magi teach us some more about that as well. First off, we make him the focus, just as the Magi did. They immediately focused on the child of Christ. We understand the story well beyond that, but nonetheless, they had a great starting point. Remembering that the gift sent us, that gift is to reunite us with God the Father, that very God that we must bring our worship to. We submit our life to him, just as the Magi did. It represents them as bowing before him, recognizing the power that he was to have. They knelt and bowed before a baby. Not too many people would be scared of a baby unless you have to take care of it and it wakes you up all the time over every night. But they didn't have to care for that baby. They recognized the power that was represented that he would have. They submitted themselves to Christ. Our submission at this point should be that of a lifetime decision, recognizing that our submission in all circumstances that will come our way, and through them maintain our position of submission. And through that, through those choices, those events, we will ultimately demonstrate our worship to our God and to others. The Magi, they gave their all, represented in their expensive gifts. I'm not asking you to give away your home or anything like that. But if you consider that once you've submitted yourselves to Christ, our submission should lead us into giving back that which has been given and bestowed to us, that which is provided to us by God. In the most amazingly joyful manner should we give back. We recognize God for the most amazing gift that he's already given us. So as we wrap up here, as we come to a conclusion, now what? Christmas is over. Next Saturday at 10 a.m., we're going to take down the Christmas decorations. Please help. Don't take this sermon to mean that we can't take down the Christmas decorations. But understand the message behind it. Life will continue, but in what manner shall it continue? We seek and worship Christ. We worship him year-round. We seek him every day. A story that I found I want to share with you as we close. A man was sitting in his living room in the middle of January when he heard a thin, piping voice singing, "O Come, All Ye Faithful." He went to his front door and opened it, and there was a little boy singing Christmas carols. He said to the boy, "What are you doing?" And the child replied, "I'm singing Christmas carols." And the man said, "Why, son, it's the middle of January." And the little boy said, "I know, but I had the measles during Christmas, and I'm just now getting around to doing my caroling." It'd be a bad way to miss Christmas, but he understood it didn't stop just at Christmas. Let us be ready to carry Christmas all year round. Now, does that mean we're going to get invited back to OSF in June to sing Christmas carols? If we get invited back at all, that'll be amazing, but June might be a question. But I hope you understand where this came from. We have some great examples. I want to encourage us as we've closed out this year, not that we didn't seek him this year, but let's make sure we do our best to seek him this coming year. If you will, join me in this time of pastoral prayer. Feel free to join me at the altar. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning recognizing that we have received, it's been placed before us, the greatest gift that any man or woman can ever receive. Father, we recognize that it's from you. Father, as we've opened many other gifts this Christmas season, Father, if we've yet to open yours, I pray we wait no longer. Father, work within us. May we be moved and stirred by your Holy Spirit, recognizing the need that we each have for the gift that you've offered. The gift that comes through your Son, Jesus Christ, and that is the gift of salvation. Father, we ourselves cannot do enough. We cannot act in a manner that gets us to heaven, and we see that. May your Holy Spirit reveal that to us, and may we rely upon you and your power that we can be reunited to you. Heavenly Father, we have a journey before us to set out on a trek to seek, to explore, and to find new grounds of faith, our faith in you. As it becomes tiring and weary for some of us, may we be there to encourage each other on. May we be ready to pull up on the precepts and to bring others to them that they might struggle with, just as, Father, we ourselves are going to need a helping hand in learning and understanding all that you want to share with us. Help us to grow in our faith, our knowledge and understanding of you. Not that we can boast, Father, but the more that we can be humbled. Father, we come before you today celebrating, but we also come together knowing that we have some individuals that we need to pray for. Father, that you are the healer. The greatest of healing that you've offered is that of bringing our sinful souls to life. But Father, our challenge is that with our physical bodies. Father, may we understand the vessels that you've given us and what we're to use them for. Father, may we use all the time that we have to serve and love you. In Jesus' name, amen. You'll stand and sing. We're not guaranteed every other day. We're guaranteed today. Seek him while you can. If you'll quickly bow with me. Heavenly Father, lead us in the power of your Holy Spirit. May we rely upon you for each and every moment. And may we make sure to show, share, and shine your love to those around us, that you alone would be glorified. Carry us out this week through your power. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.